God's grace is yours in Jesus. Amen. God's word for our meditation today, our Old Testament lesson, 1 Samuel chapter 26. In the name of Jesus, who loved us even when we were his enemies, your fellow redeemed. Tell me, have you ever had a few laughs at the expense of someone who was sound asleep? You know what I mean? Your roommate is just sawing logs, and so you kind of sneak in and you tickle his nose with a feather and he's sliding. Or better yet, you put his shaving cream in his hand, so, right? We maybe all kind of taken advantage of somebody when they were sleeping. In our text for today, we meet a man who had an opportunity to do the same thing. A chance to not so much get a laugh, but get something much more serious, a chance to get revenge. Today we turn our attention to the account of a very important event in David's life. We look to 1 Samuel chapter 16, where God gives to David what we might call the perfect opportunity. The perfect opportunity to get revenge, but also the perfect opportunity to show faith. First, the perfect opportunity to get revenge. Why do I say that? Well, let's look at the first verse. So David and Abishai went to the army by night, and there was Saul lying asleep inside the camp with his spear stuck in the ground near his head. Abner and the soldiers were lying around him. Can you picture the scene? Saul has come down with 3,000 of his best men down to the desert of Ziph, which is like west of the Dead Sea, for the express purpose of finding and killing David. In the middle of the night, David and his nephew Abishai sneak into the camp and find themselves standing right over Saul, who's sound asleep. Abishai can hardly believe his eyes. He says, "Today, God has delivered your enemy into your hands." In other words, let me do something, David. In fact, he tells him, "Now, let me pin him to the ground with one thrust of my spear. I won't strike him twice." In other words, "Boss, I can't miss. Right through the heart. He ain't moving." Now, someone might ask, well, why would he want to do that? Why would David want to see his king dead? Well, because that's what Saul wanted to see David. He'd already sent the army to kill him. In fact, before this, when David was a musician in the palace, Saul, in a fit of rage, had tried to pinned David to the wall with his spear. Ever since that time, David had been running for his life. Don't you think that thought is running through David's head? Here's my chance. My chance to kind of turn the tables on this guy. Make him pay for what he's been doing to me. Here's my chance to get some revenge. It certainly would have crossed his mind. Especially when you realize that God had already told David, "You're next in line, David. You're my next king." It'd be pretty easy for David to think, "Well, I don't know, maybe this is all part of God's plan. Maybe God wants me to take revenge and at the same time, you know, kind of clear the path to the throne." That's certainly what his nephew is thinking, right? "Today, God has delivered your enemy into your hands." In other words, come on, David, this is the perfect opportunity to get what you have coming to you, to pay this guy back for what he's done to you, the perfect opportunity to get revenge. Tell me, was that voice speaking in David's ear? Maybe a voice that speaks in our ear too. You know the one that says, You're not going to let him get away with that, are you? What she did with you was wrong. You got to make it right. You got to make her pay. Isn't that voice inside of all of us? I mean, when somebody hurts us, when we feel like we've suffered an injustice, when we've been treated unfairly, there's a voice that says, this is not right. We've got to make this right. Somebody's got to pay for this. And if you're not going to do it, then I'm going to have to. You realize how often that desire to get even drives our lives. It drives human behavior. A couple weeks ago, I was on my way back from the Philippines. I had a chance to watch a couple movies on the airplane. I realize it's like the only time I watch movies is when you're stuck on a plane for 20 hours. What else do you have to do is watch a couple movies. So one of the movies I watched was called The Revenant. Some of you may have seen it with Leonardo DiCaprio. It's kind of a gory movie. I was glad it was kind of the edited version on the airplane. But the whole gist of it was DiCaprio's character, after being mauled by a bear, spends the rest of the movie absolutely determined to get revenge on the man who had left him for dead. Now, maybe you and I are not, you know, crawling across the frozen tundra to get back at somebody. But that doesn't mean we are above kind of holding a grudge, giving somebody the silent treatment, talking about them behind their back. In each one of these cases, there's something inside of us that wants to make people pay. We want it even. We want the scales balanced. You realize that something inside of each one of us is sin. What does Scripture say? Do not repay anyone evil for evil. And again, do not take revenge, my friends. The question is, how do we overcome that desire for revenge? How do we keep from taking out our frustrations on people who have hurt us? To answer that, we need to look back to David in this account. You see, God gives David not only the perfect opportunity to get revenge, He also gives him the perfect opportunity to show his faith. Just for a minute, I want you to think about how David's words and actions are really an expression of his faith in God. First of all, David recognizes that God is the one who put Saul in this position of authority over him. Saul is still God's anointed representative. And that's why when his nephew offers to kill him, what's David's response? Don't destroy him. Who can lay a hand on the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? Secondly, David shows his faith by leaving Saul's final judgment up to God. He says, as surely as the Lord lives, the Lord Himself will strike him, namely Saul. Either his time will come and he will die, or he will go into battle and perish. In other words, how Saul dies, whether in a timely manner, by natural causes, or in an untimely manner, is all in God's hands, David says. That's God's doing, not mine. And finally, David shows his faith by basically taking the high road. rather than using the spear to run Saul through, he instead kind of just borrows it for a while. Yes, first to kind of have some fun at the expense of Abner, who was sleeping, Abner the bodyguard. When David gets to the other side of the valley, what does he cry out to him? Why didn't you guard your lord the king? Someone came to destroy your lord the king. Look around you. Where are the king's spear and watering jug that were near his head? What you have done is not good. But actually, David had a more important point to make. David wanted to make a point to his soldiers, and more importantly, Saul's soldiers, that he, in fact, was a man of God, a man of faith. I mean, think about it. Saul undoubtedly had told all his soldiers, this David, he's a bad guy. We got to kill him. How does David prove his innocence? How does he prove that he is, as Scripture says, a man after God's own heart? How does he prove it? By doing exactly what he did. Instead of killing Saul, he forgives him. He shows him mercy. And in so doing, he shows the men around him what God's heart is really like. Isn't the same thing true for you and me? I mean, in the pages of Scripture, God has shown us His heart. He has revealed His love for us in Jesus. At the baptismal font, He made you His own in love. At the Holy Supper, He restores that relationship with you. In each one of these situations, we have God expressing His unconditional, undeserved love. And really, it's that love that God has shown to you and me, even though we were His enemies, that in turn equips us to love those who don't love us. And really, that's one of the characteristics that distinguish us as God's people. I mean, in our gospel lesson today, Jesus talked about it. Loving people that love you is not that hard, right? How's he put it? If you love those who love you, what reward will you get? Are not even tax collectors doing that? And if you greet only your brothers, what are you doing more than others? Do not even pagans do that? But you see, God is holding you and me as Christians to a higher standard. Jesus says, you have heard that it was said, love your neighbor and hate your enemy. But I tell you, love your enemies and pray for those who persecute you, that you may be sons of your Father in heaven. Don't misunderstand those words. Jesus is not saying, if you love your enemy, then you qualify for the rank of Son of God. No, it's really the other way around. Because God has made you His children, sons and daughters of God, by grace, through faith in Jesus Christ, because God has already revealed to you His love, because He's shown you His heart, because He's, in fact, put His heart in you, He has equipped you to do something that nobody expects you to do. And that is, love your enemy. Now the question is, how does that apply to our lives? Maybe you're saying to yourself, well, Pastor, I don't really think I have any enemies. I mean, nobody's out to kill me or anything. Praise God for that. But maybe you need to think of your enemy not so much as the person who's got a knife in your back, but rather the person at work who kind of rubs you the wrong way, who was really kind of hard to get along with. Or maybe it's that family member who just kind of brings out the worst in you. There's always some tension there, some conflict. There's times when you really don't like that person, and that person really doesn't like you. How do you love that enemy? Here's a couple suggestions. First of all, pray for that person. Isn't that what Jesus said? Pray for those who persecute you. It's pretty tough to hate someone when you're sincerely praying for them. Secondly, do something for them that they don't expect. Figure out what they need and then meet that need. What did Paul say to the Romans? If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he's thirsty, give him something to drink. Sometimes when we just put our faith into action, our heart follows. And then finally, when it comes to the people who have hurt us, know that God knows. God knows what's going on. Entrust yourself to Him. Live your life in gratitude for the forgiveness that He has given you for all of your sins. And then be confident that He can handle the sins of others too. The bottom line is this. We're all going to have lots of opportunities in life. Opportunities to take justice in our own hands, make other people pay for what they did, get revenge. But each one of those opportunities is also an opportunity to let God be the judge, to put your faith into action, and love and forgive those who don't love you. For in that way, you will be showing yourselves to be what you are, the children of the Heavenly Father. You will show that God has given you His heart. God grant it. For Jesus' sake. Amen. Please stand. The peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen.